Hello, listeners. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Well, last week, form did not cooperate. And I, for about 4 days, I didn't have any internet connection. And I had been planning on having internet connection so I could get the show to the engineer, Bert. But no such luck. And both of us had no, we didn't have an idea of what we could replay, so we decided just to leave it, and I'm very sorry to disappoint you last week, and to have the airtime be blank, because that's not what I'd like. But here we are, back again on, let's see, when would this be? August the 5th. And we're going to start a new round of shows. The other people who are doing research, I have not been able to schedule an interview with yet. So sometime in the future, we'll have more shows with Reiki and research. But now we're going to switch to another topic, which was requested by a lot of the listeners, and that is to have interviews with masters who teach in countries that we might not even be able to visit in our lifetime or that feel very exotic. And sometimes that's Germany, and sometimes that's Russia, and sometimes that's Romania, or sometimes that's Hungary, and sometimes that's Australia, and sometimes that's even the good old USA. So, you know, in my experience in the 1980s, when everybody was traveling around teaching Reiki, I would teach in many different countries in 1 year. There was a part of our experience that was really beautiful, and that was that Reiki was the same everywhere. People heard the word for some reason. They were connected to it. And they said, "That's what I want." They didn't know anything about it. And they came, they got value, and it has permeated their life and become a part of their lives. And some of those people have become masters and, you know, have again gone out and to initiate other people and to deepen the practice in their own life. One of the things that is happening, though, is that as we traveled, we became aware, we the masters became aware of some of the teachings that were being given to us through the culture and the country that we were teaching in. So one of the things that always used to amaze me was to have some master be drawn to a country, like Beth Gray was drawn to go to Australia and was a big mover and shaker of Reiki in Australia, and once, well, along with Marta Getty and Bunny Sugarin, the first masters in Australia, and out of those masters came this huge community. And Inger Droog went to the Netherlands, and she's been on our show before, and that was the first time that Reiki was introduced to the Netherlands. And, you know, now the Netherlands, as a country, is just a Reiki country. It's amazing. But what about other countries, and what are the gifts that these countries give us? Well, this is what I'd like to explore with some of the masters who travel still. And one of these masters is Helga Artner, who's from Austria, actually. And I met Helga, I don't even know how many years ago, but a long time ago, when she was a second degree student. And then she was initiated, and all of a sudden, I heard she was teaching in Turkey. And I don't even know the story, to tell you the truth. So I'm just so pleased, Helga, that you could join us today. And thank you very much for wanting to share this with our listeners.
Thank you, Phyllis.
Yes, I've stopped talking. It's just so wonderful to speak with you about this, because I know that, well, I tell you, when I met you and then I knew that Michael had initiated you, I mean, I didn't have any idea that you would go to Turkey, and I don't know if you did either, but I sure am happy to hear the story. So let's start at the very beginning, as they say. How did you meet Reiki?
I met Reiki in a very interesting style. I had at this time I was giving lots of healing massages, and one of my customers, she was an old lady, she was telling me that one of her relatives makes such exotic things like Reiki, and then she started to tell me stories, and I said to myself, this I cannot believe, she's an old woman. But every week she was my patient and came and told me. And one day I said to myself, if this is possible, I have to learn this. I have to know this. And so my way started. I was looking for nearly 1 year to find a master for the first degree. And when I did the first degree, I said, yes, this is exactly what I miss in my life and what I want to have in my life. And it was for me so clear to follow this way, how difficult this way might be, but I wanted to go it. And this was the start of me.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yes. And then I met, without knowing, Michael in a seminar. And then I said, I will ask him. And then I asked him. And then he said, okay, let's start and work together. And so I really got a very nice education of him, and I'm very grateful to him. And he is still for me a very special person because he gave me this precious gift. Yeah. This was the beginning of me. But it's now many years ago, many, many years ago.
So when did you, what year did you first come to Reiki?
Sorry, I could not catch the question.
What year did you first come to Reiki? What year did you were initiated in first degree?
In the first degree, I was in the early 90s. It was 92.
And then you were initiated as a master when?
1996, 14th of April.
Oh, wow. Great. So, tell
And
me.
this initiation happened in Turkey. Michael and me traveled to
Really?
Turkey. Yes.
So how
And
did
it
you,
is
why did you choose Turkey?
something like a connection, what I feel to this country since my childhood. And since the early 80s, I always spend the summer in Turkey.
Really?
With my children, and I saw all the big places, and I knew many about the culture and about the people, how are the people, and what is possible there, what is not possible there. And I had this really deep wish from the beginning that I will start it in Turkey.
Interesting. So then when you were initiated as a master, did you have you through the years made friends in Turkey and then they were interested in Reiki, or how did that work out?
This was another story which was also very interesting. In the city where I live, there are many Turkish families, and one they had like a little restaurant, and one of their relatives had a really big accident, a very young girl in the age of 19, and everyone believed that she will die, also the doctors, and they asked me, can you give her some treatment? And I said, of course, and I went there, gave the treatment, and the life returned, and he became healthy.
Wow.
And this was a really big experience also for me. And then I said, I really want to start to work in Turkey. And so they said, okay, we will support you in the way we can do it. And then I went to a place where I have never been before. It's a big city called Adana in the southeast of Turkey. And there I started.
Wow.
I started without knowing what will come up, what will happen, what will be.
Uh-huh. And have you learned the Turkish language, or do you teach in German or English, or?
I know Turkish, but not so well.
Uh-huh.
I cannot do simple discussion with someone, or I can have a normal conversation, but not enough to talk about Reiki.
Uh-huh.
So I do it in English language.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. Wow. And so you went to the city and they supported you in gathering people for a class?
The first thing was in a big hotel, we rented a conference room.
Uh-huh.
And they were inviting many, many people. I think when I had my first speech about Reiki there were about 150 people.
Wow.
And it was really so full. I was very excited. And the amazing thing was I had a translator. I did it at this time in German.
Uh-huh.
And the translation was not really proper. But anyway, it was an experience. And I started with a class of six students there.
Uh-huh.
So it was, but later on, many of those people who heard this first, saw me the first time, came later as students.
Right. They had to think about it.
Yes. It was unbelievable for them that this can be, and at this time no one in Turkey knew about Reiki. It was so exotic, they had no thought about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was in 1998, and I started there.
Mm-hmm.
And now these are 12 years. And in those 12 years, I had between 4,000 and 5,000 students there.
Wow.
So it was really, really growing a lot.
That's wonderful. And you still teach there, I assume?
Yes. I'm still active in Turkey, but not as much as before because my mother has some health difficulties.
Uh-huh.
And so it is necessary that I'm more time in Austria.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you had this personal connection with Turkey, and you were able to go there on holidays and so on. But when you started to teach, was that a different way of relating to Turkey?
Absolutely different.
Yes?
Really, yes. It is. If you go somewhere for holidays, you also can be with the people, you live with them, you honor their culture. But I never tried to teach them anything.
Right.
But in this moment, when I started to talk about Reiki, so many doors become open. It is amazing. I came to places because of Reiki, no foreigner or not even the Turkish people can enter.
Wow.
And this was like a big key, like a master key, which everywhere opens the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I met really I saw so many different ways of living there. From really very simple way of living people who live very simple,
mm-hmm.
in the villages and until the highest society.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had many medical doctors as my students.
Mm-hmm. What was that like, and what did they come, what have they done with Reiki?
I have doctors, they are using it for themselves and also for their patients.
Uh-huh.
There are many, they send their patients when I'm there for treatments to me.
Uh-huh.
And this is just a little story. I had one of my students, he has a son, which had, in the age of 3 years, three had a heart attack.
In the age of three?
Yes. This is called Kawasaki disease.
Wow.
And then they brought the child to Japan, and they made a really difficult heart operation on him.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor had to see with an angiography. Mm-hmm. I think 3 months later, 4 months later, it's the operation burn.
Oh, right.
And this lady was also a student of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she did this this angiography, she understood that the operation did not work. But
oh.
then she saw that the heart was making the own line. And in this place, she was in, and this did Reiki.
Wow.
So it was also a very interesting experience also.
Mm-hmm. For everyone. That's
yes.
amazing. Wow. And so the baby lived?
The baby is now complete healthy. It's now
wow.
5 years ago it was.
Wow.
And now it is like other children.
Wow. Amazing.
Simply living and enjoying the life.
Wow. Isn't that wonderful?
These are the things really which touched me always so deep, and for those gifts I'm so thankful, and I say it's the most beautiful thing what I do in my life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just supporting some people or giving this energy and see what happens.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So, you know, in this day and age, we have a lot of different ideas going on around Turkey and the Muslim faith and so on. And I'm just wondering, in your connection with Turkey, how are you with the Muslim religion? And does that seem to interfere at all with your teaching of Reiki?
There are two ways how we can see the Islam.
Mm.
The Islam is in one way a religion, and these people, the people who really believe in the Islam are not dangerous. Dangerous is only the political Islam.
Mm.
And these are two things. This is no, there is no connection to the belief of someone.
Mm-hmm.
And my experience is that they are open, they are sometimes more open than people in our country,
mm-hmm.
because they believe in different things. I was also working a lot with Arabic people there. You know, there are in this place are living many Arabic
mm-hmm.
people. They are Turkish,
mm-hmm.
but their culture is Arabic.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. And what is the general difference between the two?
Between the political Islam and the...
No, between the Arabians who are living in Turkey and the Turkish.
The Arabic people, they are very connected to each other. They are usually refusing foreigners. They are refusing the Turkish culture. They want to keep their own Arabic culture.
Uh-huh. So they have their own, like, communities.
Yes, this is like a closed community.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But also Reiki opens the door to them.
So how do you? So you've taught in the Arabian communities there too?
Yes. Yes.
Uh huh. So how did this happen? Do you have a little story?
About this, you know, I opened there a really house. I rented a big apartment, and in this apartment, I had only a little room for myself. I had my office there. And I had also a really big room for the meetings and for the lessons.
Uh-huh.
This was only the Reiki house. And I had also meetings there. And every weekend when I was not there, some of my students, they invited also the friends, and they were together and they did Reiki exchange.
Uh-huh.
And I was sending them always a letter so that they could read it and some thoughts and some ideas for them.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And it happened for many years, and there were meetings. There were 75 people there.
Wow.
It was so crowded, but it was really like a holy place.
Right. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to this place then came some of the Arabian people?
Yes, they came also there.
Uh-huh.
And in this place, there was no difficulty.
Oh, neat.
They were talking nicely to each other. They were respecting each other. And this was really wonderful.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
That's so lovely to hear. So if this was not a challenge, were there other things that were challenges?
There were lots of challenges there.
Oh, and what were some of them?
Of course, you know that I am blonde.
Oh, yes. Very blonde.
That's true. And you imagine a woman, most of the time I was alone. And
right.
I had to handle all those things on my own.
Uh-huh.
I had to do all the ways to the government places. I had to find the way to create very often the way to be successful, to get all the permissions and all those things. And this was one of my big challenges.
Wow,
people
that's
here
amazing.
In Austria believed, you never can do this. But I said, I will do it. And this was also a big gift to me. I learned that I'm responsible for everything. It's the self-responsibility. And
wow.
I learned to be committed and also disciplined.
Mm.
And I believe those three parts made it possible.
Mm-hmm. And what was the discipline about?
The discipline was really to work on it, to be focused on it. If something did not happen, just do it again from a different way. And I tried as long as I was until I was successful. This was my discipline.
Wow.
Never give up.
Wow.
I was always imagining someone who is a sport champion has also to make the training.
Yes.
Again and again and again.
Again. Yeah.
And then the success will come.
Oh, that's wonderful, Helga. That's very inspiring.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is. It's wonderful. It's a great analogy, really. And sometimes, you know, I think that there's this kind of unconscious, I think, an unconscious belief system that if it's supposed to happen, that Reiki will make it easy. But sometimes we have to put our partnership energy into it and try and try again. And as you said, have discipline and practice and go back to the same office over and over again. And then it happens.
Yes, it is true.
Yeah.
I believe we can really bring our, if we give all our effort to something, we can reach the point what we really want to reach.
Wow.
Of course, it must be an honestly way,
uh-huh.
an honestly goal.
Right.
We have.
Right. Right. For sure.
And I had also, this is just a very interesting thing what also happened to me.
Yeah.
I had also my work permission and, you know, I was paying my insurance, my taxes and everything. And then there came the new government in Turkey,
mm-hmm.
and this is a religious one. And then they did not give the work permission to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lawyer and he said, don't worry, I will do it. And then he called me one day and said, I couldn't do it, but I will do it again. And so I was very peaceful, very silent. And one day, someone was knocking at the door, and I felt, oh, this becomes dramatic. This was really, I felt, there is a difficulty. What will I face? And then my secretary opened. Immediately, five policemen came in. And they started, you know, really with police force. To shout about me and to say, you have to go out of the country, you are not anymore allowed to be here, and all those things. And I said only to myself, my God, what will I do now? There is one student, what will this student think now if such thing happens?
Right.
And I brought them to sit down, I brought my passport, I showed them there is my visa. I can stay here, everything is okay, my work permission is on the way. and all those things, I explained them, but they didn't want to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
They said, no, you have to go out. This is only for 2 weeks. I said, no, please look. It is for 3 months.
Uh-huh.
And there was a long, long discussion. And then I called one of my really good friends. He is a very important person in Adana. And I said, please come here. And then when he came here and saw the police, he was really also shy to talk to the police. He only tried to make them calm. And then I was in this really hot interview of them for 1.5 hours.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
then they left.
Uh-huh.
And said to me, find a ticket.
Find a ticket.
I was thinking, what will I do? What will I do? Will I go now to Syria and pass only the border to take a new visa for 3 months, or what will I do?
Uh-huh.
And then in the evening, four or 5 hours later, again they returned back. But this time they brought their boss with them.
Oh my God!
But the funny thing was, in the end, they understood that I was right. They understood I have the visa. I only was not allowed to teach in this place. Okay, I stopped there and I went to a friend's home and I continued my lessons. Yes, this was a very, very tough story.
Uh-huh.
But also I learned to handle this and not to be afraid of anything.
Wow.
This was a really good experience also for my personal life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's my impression, and maybe I'm mistaken, that the men in Turkey can be very imposing and scary.
Yes, of course.
Of course.
Yes, of course. They are really machos.
Yeah.
To say it very simple and sometimes very rude.
Yeah.
And the police is also rude against against men, against everyone. They know we have the power.
Yeah, uh-huh. So were there other challenges then to practice in Turkey and in that culture?
It was also... I was very often invited to hospitals, also to the emergency room, and give there my treatment. And of course, there are medical doctors, they come and see what I do, what I did, and they ask questions, and then some were also thinking, this is a not normal person,
right.
Or something like this. But they saw the results, and very often... they were very shocked what happened.
Great. And
it was a good opportunity for me to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful, and I think that's very likely true in many, many countries. That as people are invited into the hospitals, the medical staff gets to have an experience of Reiki and is really astonished at what can happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is something what I miss here in Austria. Here are the medical doctors not really open for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is in Turkey much more, and today I learned from one of my friends. She is a diabetic and she has big difficulties with her eyes and with her kidneys.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted to give her 1 year ago, they wanted to make the dialysis on her.
Oh, yes.
And today she said me, until now it was not necessary, and the doctor always said, you are a miracle. And when I returned back, again, 5 doctors of a big hospital waiting for the initiation. Isn't it great?
Wow.
I said to her, I'm so happy for you, and I will share this today with Phyllis.
Oh, that's
wonderful.
Yeah.
Really great chances.
Yes, really great. Well, you know, the human body is such a miracle, and when we just give it a little boost, it can do some really miraculous things. That's wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah, great. Well, I don't know if I'm just ignorant or if I don't really know the culture that you're working in, but I always thought that there were rules or restrictions culturally about women touching men and men touching women other than their wives and so on. And I'm wondering, is that does that come up at all in the Reiki classes?
No, this is not at all. I'm very careful about this, and I really, when I know there is a woman, an example, who is wearing this scarf, and she's a really religious one, I put her a little bit more to the woman, so that she's treated by woman. But also, after a while, they become more open, and they understand that this is not a sexual thing or something.
Uh-huh.
And this is, of course, with being very careful, there is no difficulty about this.
Uh-huh. You must have a wonderful way of working with people where they're, do they ask about it or are they ever afraid and you have to talk with them? Or is this just some peaceful thing that you have inside of you where people come and trust that it will all be okay?
I don't spend much of words about this. I tell them there are really very strong ethic principles which are part of our lessons, which are also part of our normal life. And that was enough.
Wow.
I had also students. They were, you know, I have been also, I went also to different other cities.
Mm-hmm.
I was invited and I was teaching in the homes of people. And I had also students, they were really wearing whole black, you know, the burqas they were wearing.
Uh-huh.
And they are outside. But the amazing thing is, when those women, of course there are only women at this, such a place. When the women are taking off this, they are so living people, they are so full of life joy, and we had lots of fun together.
Wonderful.
Yes.
So when they come to a Reiki class, they take off their black robes, and
yes.
And it's only women.
Yes, in this classes, when they are really so strict religious, and living in the Far East, as in the, I was going to the more far east of Turkey.
Uh-huh.
Not the last part, this not, but the middle of of East Anatolian.
Uh-huh.
And I had some classes really with women.
Uh-huh. And then do the men take Reiki, but they have a separate class?
The men at those places, I had also mixed ones. There were women and men together.
Uh-huh.
These are not the absolute strict religious
ones. So
the normal ones are, the normal religious ones are okay with
them. Oh, interesting. And did you find that people felt that their religious beliefs would be threatened by Reiki?
Some at the beginning were listening, and I remember many people, when I was talking a bit about the principles, said, this is written in our Quran. This is written also in our Quran. I said, yes. And then they were happy.
Ah, right. No, that's wonderful. Well, I just wonder, because, you know, in our Christian countries, this often comes up, that Christian leaders, like priests or sometimes even bishops and so on, are afraid that Reiki will, people who practice Reiki will let go of their religion or will compromise somehow their religious practice. So I find that to be so interesting. So that's why I asked.
I believe it is the way how we talk to people.
Uh-huh.
I think it is very important to be free, to honor their culture, also their way of living.
Mm-hmm.
And then they become open to receive this gift. And I always was telling also this is the history of Reiki. I never cut something of it.
Good for you.
So.
Good for
without
you.
Without any difficulty, they could accept this.
Uh-huh. And you don't wear robes or anything, you just dress normally, right?
No, I'm very, very, very normal. in this,
very
in this
Western.
Way.
Uh-huh.
Of course, when I'm in Turkey, you know, I'm the same like I'm in Austria.
Uh-huh, great. And what are the gifts that you've been given in going to another country and teaching? Because it's my understanding, and this could be wrong, but most of your teaching life has occurred in Turkey and not in Austria or, say, in another European country.
I have spent half time there and half time here.
Uh-huh.
The gift was I was allowed to meet so many different people coming from different places, having different lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
This was really enriching my life. I was introduced in the really highest society. If it was culture part or if it was universities, I was also having sometimes a speech in the Auditorium Maximum in the university.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of the really big gifts. And I learned, as I said before, to understand that I'm really responsible for all what happens. I'm responsible if something goes well, and I'm also responsible if something is not flowing well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And of course, deep friendships. I saw many people finding their healthness back. I saw many people who changed their life. Their emotions slowed down. So this is so many different gifts I received.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And when you go back and forth between Austria and Turkey, do you find that you take that you have two separate lives, or are you an integrated mix between the two?
It is not having two different lives. Of course, this, I cannot separate. But as soon as I enter the plane, Austria, an example, is for the moment closed, and I'm fully in Turkey.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I return back, it is the same. I enter the plane, and then I start to come back to Austria.
Uh-huh.
I'm present in this place, and I'm present in the other place.
Uh-huh. That's wonderful, Helga. It's amazing that because the culture seems so different. I don't know if that's true, and maybe you can tell me if I'm accurate. But they seem so different, and yet it feels so natural for you. It sounds so natural for you to go back and forth and hold yourself as a person who really resides in both of these cultures.
It is true that the culture is absolutely different.
Mm-hmm. They have different values and different priorities.
Yes, they have different priorities. When I see here the life in Austria, is much more silent. People are not so deep connected to each other. There, the family has a big power on each other, the family members. These are like in very old times here in our country. And also, it seems they are so strict. I saw it also when a young couple married, that they afterwards they had to show that the girl was a virgin. They had to show this to the people. But in the same moment, I saw people living so free. I didn't want that my children would live in such a way. So it is always the extreme. They are so hot-blooded people. They love. If they love, they love in an incredible way. But if they hate, it is the same. So they are always in a very big extreme that they can be. This is not here in Austria. Here in Austria, everything is more smooth and more silent. And I saw also really street children sleeping on the street, on the way where the people are walking,
right,
sleeping, little children, 4 or 5 years old. I saw many things. And, of course, I saw also... I was in guest in the houses of friends of me. They are so rich, no one can imagine this here in our country, that people can be so rich.
And yet, you know, if we think about the differences, there's also this incredible similarity of how Reiki touches people. Don't you think that's true?
It is true, yes.
I
have one of my best friends. He is a really wonderful man. He had for 15 years headache. He was at the best doctors. They did everything and they could not stop his headache. Then he came years ago for a treatment for me. After the second treatment, the headache was gone. We completed 4 treatments and then a few treatments more. And the headache never returned back.
Wow.
And this was one of the really big supporters for me. He was telling to everyone and he was really bringing many people to the place.
Yeah, wow, that's beautiful.
Yes, these are wonderful memories.
Yes, I can imagine. Do people in Turkey bring their children to be initiated?
Yes, they also brought some of their children, yes.
I just wondered, because I know that in the United States now, that's very that's a very common thing for people to do, and I have had several of the masters that I'm connected with who are in Uruguay, in Montevideo, in Wales, and in a couple of other countries, Germany and Holland, that they're also practicing Reiki in Waldorf schools, you know, these schools that are...
Waldorfschule, yeah.
Yeah, Waldorfschule, and under the Anthroposophic Society. And was he from... Where was he from? Rudolf Steiner. Aren't these Rudolf Steiner... Isn't he the man that founded these?
I know, but I think from the... From the name, he could be a German or Austrian from the name, but I don't exactly know from where he comes.
Right. And anyway, these schools are very open, and Reiki masters are being asked to actually show the children how to practice Reiki and then eventually initiate them, and So the whole school, the teachers and the students and everything, all have Reiki.
Ah, super.
Yeah, interesting, isn't that?
Yes, this is a wonderful idea.
Yeah, yeah, I thought it was really interesting. And of course, you know what, the people who have talked to me have, I said, well, my one advice is to be sure and involve the parents because they need to know what Reiki is. And they also, it would be great if they could have Reiki also because their child will have Reiki and then will be seeing and feeling and hearing things that the parent can't do unless they have Reiki also.
Yes, for me this was one of my principles. I never would initiate a child without, I know the parents are also practicing serious.
Uh-huh,
This was one of the points of me, always the important points. Because children ask questions and they ask their parents. And they should have the answer.
Well, in this whole, I just am so excited to hear about how beautifully, you know, Reiki has been met in Turkey. And I'm just wondering, do you still have your center there?
At the moment, I don't have a really place, but I will go again when I go to a hotel and stay there. And there I have also a meeting place and, you know, I'm, since 1.5 years, my mother became very ill and once she had a heart attack on the telephone, she, she fainted when I was in Turkey and I had to go back and so I have to be more here. But I'm sure the time will come again that we will have again a place.
Right. Well, I just wonder because I've gotten two or three emails from people who are in Turkey who practice and have a lot of questions. And what I'd like to do is to be able to refer them to you.
Mm-hmm. Of course, all the time.
Great. That would be wonderful. And do you have a wonderful, well, it isn't, I don't know about wonderful, so I'll rephrase this. Do you have a Reiki story that you would like to share or some Reiki stories you would like to share with the listeners?
It was a Reiki story, a really Reiki story. Of course, there are many what happened.
Yes.
But it was for me also at the beginning of my, when I was first time in Turkey. And I had this first seminar over there. One of my students brought me to her uncle. He was a hodja.
He was a what?
A hodja. This is a like a priest.
Oh.
An Islamic one.
Oh, I see.
And I was very, I don't say afraid, but it was very strange for me to go to such a place. And he had cancer. And it was, he was really very, very weak. He was laying down and then I put my hands on him and I was thinking, what will I do if he will die at the moment?
Right. Good question.
what will happen? And I started to talk to him and he talked also to me and he was very, very nice in the way of his talking. And I gave, I completed my treatment. And he was still laying in the bed, not really moving. The next day, I returned back for the second treatment. And I couldn't believe it. He was sitting beside the bed. He was sitting beside the bed and he was eating a soup. I said, my God, what happened? And then I did my second treatment. And I had only time for two more, so four treatments I gave him. Then I had to return back to Austria. And I came 5 months later, again back to Turkey. And then one day it was not, someone was knocking at the door, and there was a man standing there. I couldn't remember him. I didn't realize who it was, and then he said, you gave me the treatment, and now all the cancer cells are gone from my body. I took 20 kilos on weight, and you see, I'm healthy again.
Wow.
So
wonderful.
It was for me like a shock at this time. But it was a good one, and I also believe that this had to happen so that people understood Reiki is something what is always working.
That's a beautiful story. Thank you, Helga.
Yes, this was my beginning.
Wow.
And many things happened, and of course not everyone found the healthness. This also is clear.
And that's clear. But it is our path. Like, I feel sometimes that people are so amazed that I had cancer because I'm a Reiki master, and I am a lineage bearer, and I live in Reiki all the time, but I know that there was some reason for me to have cancer. It was something that I brought on myself, not in a blamey way, but just in how I live my life and the choices that I made. And it was a huge gift, and I'm glad that it was not such a strong lesson, but I also feel that Reiki just, I don't know how I would have gotten through all of my treatments or anything without Reiki. It would have been really much worse.
Of course. I can really tell you, Phyllis, I'm so happy to understand and to feel that you are again in the really life back.
You need
some rest. But
yes.
The health is with you.
Yes. Yes, I feel that too, for sure.
And by the way,
yes.
Also Gottfried has done it. He is now also free of cancer.
Really?
About this.
Oh, that is so wonderful to hear. For the listeners, this is a Reiki master in Austria. He's suffered and suffered and suffered through many, many treatments, and Reiki has accompanied him through all of this, and he is just a wonderful man, and I love him very much, and it's so wonderful to hear that he is recovering.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Would you give him my love?
Of course I will do it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we're at the end of our show, Helga. I mean, it's unbelievable, but time flies.
Wow,
isn't that amazing? Is there anything else that you would like to share with us now?
Just a short thing about Turkey. Turkey is a really, really wonderful country. There are living people, they are open, they like to have guests, they are open to share what they have. It's a really beautiful country, and I'm really feel so blessed that I was allowed to work there and to spend so many times and to get so deep understanding of their way of living.
Yes. Well, it's so beautiful how they've opened to you and given you their hearts and their trust. I think that's says a lot about you.
Thank you, Phyllis.
Yeah, thank you, Helga, for being a Reiki master, and one that has, you know, gone to a different place and really brought something special to them and also received something special.
Yes.
Yes.
There are no words to explain what really are the deep inner gifts.
Uh-huh.
This is something what is just in us and what is us supporting to live our own masteries.
Right. Exactly. Well, thank you very much, Helga.
Thank you, Phyllis, for inviting me. Thank you for the time I could talk to you and the listeners. And thank you really very much.
You're sure welcome. Well, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.